So give me two tasks for him, one for today and one for tomorrow, and times that you need him.
It's race day. Her phone keeps ringing, but Teresa Breckel has it under control.
Well, I'll tell him to go there then.
All right, so Eugenia Buzak there.
On an April morning in her hometown of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Breckel is helping organize an annual bike race. But being here was never her plan. 4 years ago, she was a newly minted University of Missouri graduate with a bright future. Then, in the early morning hours of June 19th, 2010, she was asleep in her bed in her apartment near campus.
I had closed the door but had not locked it. And then the next thing I woke up to was Derek sexually assaulting me.
Derek was football player Derek Washington, Missouri's star running back. Breckel fled to a nearby parking lot and called her parents.
I just screamed and yelled and said, "This is what happened to me. He's a football player. Why did this happen? How is this happening?" I was in shock. I was in absolute shock. And I thought no one would believe me.
But what Breckel didn't know was that Derek Washington already had a documented history of violence against women at Missouri. An outside-the-lines investigation has revealed that numerous university officials knew about previous incidents and failed to protect Breckel and other potential victims.
Derek told me all about how he was going to be the best football player ever, how he was such a big deal. And
this former Missouri student, who we'll call Jess, agreed to speak to Outside the Lines on the condition that we not reveal her identity. She says she first met Washington in 2007, almost 3 years before the incident with Teresa Breckel. In the fall of 2008, the Tigers were undefeated, ranked third in the country, and Washington led the nation in scoring.
Washington, touchdown Tigers!
After a tough loss to Oklahoma State in mid-October, Jess says she and Washington were hanging out in her dorm room. She says they had been friends, but that particular evening turned intimate.
We started kissing, making out, and then he started fingering me. And that was about as far as I was willing to go. And so then he said, "You know, let's have sex." And I said, "Nah, you know that I don't do that. You know that I'm not comfortable with that."
She says she consented to oral sex with Washington that night, but when he pressed her to go further, she refused.
And then he got on top of me. And that's when I was like, "What are you doing? Like, knock it off. Get off of me." And
you said no.
Yes, I said no. Like, don't do that. Get off me. And I went to push him off of me, and he grabbed both of my wrists with one hand and just proceeded to put his penis inside of me. And I just kept crying and saying no. I remember just looking at him, and he just looked like he wasn't there. Finally, he stopped and realized that I was crying. I was so upset. And when I was finally able to push him off me, he just kept saying if I said anything, they would kick him off the football team. And so if I said anything, he would kill me and then kill himself.
So he threatened to kill you?
Oh, yeah.
4 days later, concerned about a vaginal cut, she went to the student health center and eventually acknowledged she'd been raped.
They just kept asking me, "Who did this to you?" I had some kind of gash on my neck. I had bruises on my wrists. I looked beat up, and I refused to tell them who did it because I was really freaked out. The lady from the women's shelter convinced me that I should come forward and tell the police who hurt me, in case he was going to hurt other people.
So 6 days later, Jess reported the incident to campus police and named Washington. They opened a forcible rape investigation and brought him in for questioning.
Do you have any idea why I'm wanting to talk to you today at all?
Outside the Lines obtained Washington's videotaped interview with Detective Sam Easley.
And what exactly does she say?
Is that she don't know what I said?
How many times did she say that during the night, remember?
Maybe three.
But Washington, who declined comment for this story, told Easley they did have intercourse that night.
Okay. Was she ever, like, trying to push up on your chest at all or anything?
No.
What I'm getting at, Derek, is do you acknowledge that what happened shouldn't have happened?
Yeah, it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't.
Do you acknowledge that what happened could be possibly considered to be an assault of some sort?
No.
Okay.
After his investigation, Easley stated he had probable cause to believe a rape had occurred. Washington's parents told Outside the Lines that football coaches met with them about the incident and indicated that charges likely wouldn't be filed. And as it turned out, the prosecutor opted for a deferred prosecution agreement, which meant he would not charge Washington if he had no contact with Jess and took rape awareness classes. No matter what happened with the police or prosecutor, it was right then that the University of Missouri was legally bound to act to make sure Jess felt safe and to protect other students. The federal law, part of Title IX, requires colleges do their own investigation into reports of sexual violence and to assess the victim's needs, separate from the criminal process. Even though multiple university officials knew of Jess's rape allegation, including her academic advisor and some football coaches, it's not clear whether any of these officials told the Title IX coordinator. But Outside the Lines has confirmed there was no Title IX investigation. During that 2008 season, Derek Washington never missed a game and scored 19 touchdowns. One former athletic department employee who says she had no idea Washington was accused of sexual assault was Teresa Breckel, who had tutored him while she was a student. On that June night in 2010, nearly 2 years after Jess's rape allegation, Breckel was living with a woman who was friends with Washington. That night, her roommate told her he would be stopping by.
So I say, well, I'm going to go ahead and go to bed. I have to be at work tomorrow morning. I had closed the door but had not locked it. And I woke up to Derek digitally penetrating me. I mean, it was terrifying. I think by the time I realized what was going on, I tensed and then Derek left the room. And I can't describe the level of fear that I felt. I mean, I've never felt that scared in my whole life.
Breckel says when Washington assaulted her with his finger, it was especially traumatizing because she was a virgin.
I had made a choice to live my life a certain way. And then all of a sudden one night, someone took that away from me and wasn't given permission to come in. And I didn't want him to come in. But there he was, assaulting me.
Later that day, Breckel went to the hospital where a sexual assault exam was performed. She filed a campus police report and obtained a restraining order against Washington. Then she left Missouri.
I was terrified. I thought that Derek was going to come after me. I moved home. It was time for me to just kind of close the shutters and be by myself and to try to feel safe and to cope with what had happened.
Jess.
It took a lot for me to come forward. A lot. It just makes me wonder how many other girls there are out there that never said anything.
As it turns out, other women did report violent behavior by Washington. Early in the morning on May 6, 2010, 6 weeks before Breckel's assault, a Missouri women's soccer player got into a fight at a local bar with Washington's girlfriend. The soccer player told police that during the scuffle, Washington walked up and, quote, struck her with a closed fist on the left side of her face. After both women were arrested, the soccer player told police she wanted to press charges against Washington, and a warrant request was issued for assault in the third degree. But she returned later that day and told police she had changed her mind. We read excerpts from the police report to Jess.
She stated that her coach made her feel as though she would not have any problems with her scholarship if she declined to prosecute Derek Washington for assaulting her. She stated that her coach said her scholarship would be fine if the incident stayed out of the news.
What?
Then we read them to Breckel.
She had thought about the situation and she decided she wanted to decline prosecution on Mr. Washington.
I mean, that's disgusting. That a coach told her or encouraged her to not move forward with charges.
While campus police were investigating Washington for Breckel's sexual assault, he was named a captain of the football team. Head coach Gary Pinkel later suspended Washington a few days before he was arrested for felony deviant sexual assault, but the school allowed him to stay on campus. 13 days later, while Washington was out on bail, he was arrested again, this time for allegedly beating up his ex-girlfriend. According to the police report, there was blood on her and all over the apartment. She told the officer he had tried to, quote, push her eyeballs into her skull, and that he had assaulted her more than 5 times during their relationship. 4 police reports. 4 documented allegations of violent acts against women in less than 2 years. It was then that Derek Washington left the university.
6 men and 6 women on the jury deliberated for 2.5 hours and found Washington guilty of deviant sexual assault.
In September of 2011, jurors convicted Derek Washington of sexually assaulting Teresa Breckel. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison, but was released after 4 months as part of a first-time offenders program. Both women waived privacy laws to allow officials at the University of Missouri to speak with Outside the Lines about their cases. But President Tim Wolf, former Chancellor Brady Deaton, Athletic Director Mike Alden, head football coach Gary Pinkel, and Title IX coordinator Noel English all declined to be interviewed.
The school's so worried about protecting themselves. What about the victims? All of us should have been the last one. When you experience something like what I have and what these other women have, you really have an understanding of what the system is like. It's as dirty as everyone says.